what it's all about, you know, leading people to the Lord and watching them come to know him and grow in him. And I remember the time it happened to me. Again, I've said it before, but it's so true. They don't give you a Bible in school, but if you go to jail, they give you one. Isn't that really good? And I do remember reading it in Cell 16 back in 1985. And when I read it, it was a New Testament, and of course, it was we're reading about Jesus. And when he started, when I started to read the commandments, I started to become very convicted, you know, because, you know, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, you know, thou shalt not even think of looking at a woman to lust for her, thou shalt not, never mind adultery, just, you know, on and on and on, all these things. And I realized, man, I busted all these things, you know. And that's what the law does. The law convicts us. Can I get an amen? It convicts you. And I say, woe to him who thinks that he keeps the law, because he doesn't. How many do you get a break to go to hell? This is not hard. One. How many sins did Adam and Eve need to commit to get kicked out of the garden? One. You know, the law is good. It shows us we're a sinner. And, of course, then it gets worse. It separates us from God. And all that awaits is a fiery furnace, a place called hell that was created for the devil and his angels. But then, of course, if you read on the good news, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believing in him will not perish, but they will have, not might have, they will have eternal life. That is the good news. That is what's so great, that we've been given from God, and we need to share. You know, if you ask the average Joe, I'm sure here in Middleborough, you ask the average guy in the street, excuse me, sir, but if you died today, would you go to heaven? I can guarantee you the most responses would be, well, I hope so. I mean, I think I've been a good person. I think I've done more good than bad. As if there was a scale that, you know, you can get into the pearly gates by. Now, one sin will keep you out of heaven, and we've all sinned. It's what the Bible says. We've all sinned. We all fall short. And so, thank God he sent his Son. Because whosoever believing on him will not perish, they will have everlasting life. So I read the New Testament, and then I started going to the church in the jail, and I saw these full Bibles in the pew. They had a little small church, little old pews, and in the back was a whole Testament. I saw the Bible, like, wow, this is a little thicker. It's the Holy Bible. And I'm just reading the New Testament, so it's thin. And he said, yeah, this is the whole Bible. I said, oh, can I read this? Yeah. So he gave it to me, and I read that, and I still read it. And I was reading in 2 Kings, the passage we're going to look at, if you want to turn there, about an episode in Samaria where they're being laid siege. There's a siege going on. There's actually, the people, of course, were sinning against God, and God was judging them. And so, as I was reading this passage, I saw, again, the good news. The good news is all over the place. It's from the front page to the back page. If you look around, it's everywhere. And so, in 2 Kings chapter 6, notice in verse 24, it says, afterward, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, mustered his entire army and went and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and they besieged it, until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung was sold for 5 shekels or so. This is bad. This is bad. They basically went going against a walled city, and what do? Well, you reroute the water, you burn the crops, and you starve them out. You just wait and starve them out. And so that's what they're doing. And it was so bad, they were so hungry for food, that a donkey's head, a guy would pay $10,000 for it. That's how hungry, you know, that's how bad it was. It's going to get worse. Now, the king of Israel, verse 26, as he was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord will not help you, how shall I help you? From the threshing floor? From the wine press? Again, there were no grapes, there's no wheat, there's no food. And the king asked her, what is troubling you? And she answered and said, well, this woman said to me, give your son that we made him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. This is bad. So we bold my son and ate him. And on the next day I said to her, give your son that we may eat him. But she has hidden her son. And when the king heard the words of this woman, he ripped his clothes as he was passing by on the wall. And the people looked and they saw he had sackcloth beneath his on his body. And he said, May God do so to me, and more also, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today. Now, he's blaming the prophet. The prophet told him these things were going to happen because he kept sinning and leading the people into sin, and he kept telling them, don't do this, don't do this. So judgment is coming now. And so the king wants to blame the prophet. So here is the prophet, verse 32. Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. The king had dispatched a man from his presence, and before the messenger arrived, Elisha told the elders, do you see how this murderer has sent to take off my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold the door fast against him. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he was still speaking with them, the messenger came down to him and said, this trouble is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? But Elisha the prophet said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. You want it in English? These people are so hungry, they would pay $500 for a loaf of bread. What Elisha is saying, don't worry, tomorrow you'll be able to buy a loaf of bread for 30 cents. Now, the captain, on whose hand the king leaned, said to the man of God, if the Lord himself should open the windows in heaven, how could this thing be? But Elisha said, look, pal, you will see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Now, there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate, and they have this disease that's going to kill them. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, well, there's a famine in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here and do nothing, we will die also. So now, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians, the enemy. And if they spare our lives, we shall live. If they kill us, so what? We're going to die anyway. So they're figuring, we'll go to the enemy. Maybe they'll see we're dying of leprosy. They'll just throw some scraps and let us go, all right? So that was their plan. So they arose, verse 5, at midnight, and came to the camp of the Syrians. When they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us. So they fled away in the twilight, abandoned their tents, their horses, their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives. They're probably still running. I mean, have you ever had a dream that was so real? Have you ever had a dream you've fallen? I have, you know, and you feel like, and just when you hit the ground, you bang on the bed and you wake up, you know. This was so real to them that they just ran for dear lives. They left everything, sword, shield, horses, food, tent, money, go, everything. And they ran for their dear lives. So, when the lepers came again to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and they ate and drank. They were starving, remember? They ate and drank, and they carried away silver and gold and clothing, went and hid them. And then they came back into another tent and carried off things from that tent and went and hid them. And then they said to one another, if you got your Bibles, you want to underline this. We are not doing right. This is a day of good news. And if we are silent and wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. Remember, everybody's starving to death. They're eating each other. So they came, and they called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no one to be seen or heard there. Nothing but the horses tied, the donkeys tied, and the tents as they were." Then the gatekeepers called out, and it was told within the king's household. And the king arose in the night and said to his servants, "Listen, stop, time out. I will tell you what the Syrians are doing. They know we're hungry. They have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the open country, thinking, when they shall come out of the city, we shall take them alive and get into the city." So the king's saying, "Don't fall for this. Don't fall for this." But remember, they're starving to death. They're eating each other. One of the servants said, "Wait, king, wait, please. Let some men take 5 of the remaining horses, seeing that those who are left here will fare like the whole multitude of Israel who have already perished. Let us send and see." He says, "Let us just check it out. If it's true, we lose 5 men, we're going to die anyway. Just let them check it out." So the king gives in, and he sent, "Go and see." So they went, took the horsemen, the king, and went after to the army of the Syrians, going to see, and they went to went after them as far as the Jordan. And behold, the way was littered with garments and equipment that the Syrians had thrown away in their haste, and the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Syrians, so that a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed the captain on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, but the people trampled him so that he died, as the man of God had said. When the man of God told the king, 2 seahs of barley will be sold for a shekel, a seah of fine flour for a shekel about this time tomorrow in the gate of Samaria. And then the captain answered and said, "Come on, come on. If the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, how could this be?" And he said, "You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat it." And again it says, so it happened to him. The people trampled him in the gate of Samaria. It says it twice. I want you to know, whenever you see something repeated twice in the Old Testament, in Hebrew thought, when they want to emphasize something, they repeat it. You know, we raise our voice. If we're writing a letter, we bold it, highlight it. They don't. They just repeat it. So you'll see this a lot in the Old Testament, sometimes in the New, and it's just emphasizing something, that if you doubt, you will die. And so, again, getting back to the message, though, it is a day of good news. It is a day of good news. You know, the people were starving, and these lepers go and tell them, and again, remember, they said, "If we just stay here, we're going to die. Let's just go over. Let's just check it out." And they did. And again, it was a day of good news. And when they came back to the camp, I can guarantee you, they ran in haste. There's a scripture verse in the Old Testament repeated 2 or 3 times, and also in the New Testament, Romans 10:15. And it says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." You remember that? Just so you know, the idea is in the olden days, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, they didn't have cell phones, all right? So if your nation was at war somewhere, and king would want messengers coming back and forth to bring news, what's going on, we win and we losing. If the guy was beating feet, and I mean running with dear life, you know he had good news. If he was not running so fast, it was not going to be good. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. It was a day of good news. Today is a day of good news. Can I get an amen? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And again, it gets worse. The wages of sin is separation. Separation from God. Please do not think you're going to get there by being a good person. Why? Because there are none. There are none. There are none good, no, not one. All fall short of the glory of God. I remember a great theologian was asked recently, well, a few years ago, he was asked, would you write a book on why bad things happen to good people? And he thought about it for a few seconds and said, no. And he said, why not? He said, because there are no good people. There aren't. Humanly speaking, I can say Ken is a good man. All right? Humanly speaking. But if I put Ken and Jesus up here, Ken is no longer good. Can I get an amen? Amen. Only one is good, Jesus said. That would be God. Everybody else is ungood, not good. That's why we need a Savior. That's why God sent his Son. If you could get there by being a good person, Jesus would not have had to die. Can you get this? Give me a nod or an amen, please. This is not hard. And I just don't want nobody to miss the boat. Because, brothers and sisters, I speak in a lot of churches, and I think we're getting away from this. We're getting away from this. The gospel, the good news. We need to proclaim it. We're talking heaven and hell, life and death. There's only one way. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will get to the Father except by me. Why? Only he can take our sins away. There's only two ways to die, folks. Only two ways. Either in the faith or in your sin. You die in your sin, you will burn. You will hear these words, depart from me, I never knew you. That'll be the last words you hear as they cast you into the lake of fire. That's what the word says. I'm just telling you the truth. But if you die in the faith, you will live forever. Remember, we're all made up of a body, soul, and spirit. You say, everybody dies. I know. It's the body dies. Yes, the body. But you don't die. Spirit and soul is who you are. You live forever, either in heaven or in hell. You will live forever. Just get that straight. And the lights are going out. So far, one out of one die. It's coming to a theater near you. Soon and very soon. Now, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you believe in Jesus, you're just walking through a door. You're going from one room into another in a place where there is no more pain, no more suffering, no more death, and God himself wipes away every tear from every eye. I kind of long for that. I kind of look forward to that. I turn 61 next month. Someone put on the internet, if you're 60 years old or over and you don't wake up in pain, you're dead. I look forward. Let me remind you again, no more pain, no more suffering. Sound good? Only one way, baby, one way. His name is Jesus. You believe on him, you shall be saved. You don't. So it's a day of good news. We got to share this good news. Now, I want to remind you, everyone here knows 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, right? The old is gone, the new has come. Anybody know the next verse? The next verse says that we are ambassadors for Christ and have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We like it or not, you got it. You have this service of bringing men and God together, and God together, because there's only one way. His name is Jesus. We got to proclaim this. This is the good news. We got to shout it from the rooftops. Remember, the Bible, the Word of God, it is truth. It is the number one bestseller every year, year after year. Number one, number one, number one bestseller, also least read. Everybody's going to have one. Nobody opens it. They put pictures and flowers in it. It gathers dust on the top shelf. That's smart. Sarcastically. Again, it is the words of everlasting life. It talks about the great news that God sent his Son to take away our sins. You don't have to die in your sin. You can believe and have eternal life. And you are going to live forever. And there's only two places. But the only way up is to believe on his Son. So we got to share this. So, again, God knew this would happen. So what did he do? He gave us his Spirit. He empowered us to live what we believe. To be light. He said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a pail. No, you put it on the table so it lights up the room. so you too, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We're not doing the good works to get to heaven. We're doing the good works because we are going to heaven. Can I get an amen? This is how people see Christ in you. We're different. We're different. We should stick out like a sore thumb. And if God is in you, you will. You will. You think different. You see different. You talk differently. You act differently. Why? Because God is in you. God is in you. And we need to let this light so shine. Now, as I was thinking about this, I want to share another passage in Matthew, New Testament, Matthew 25. And it's a story that Jesus told, a parable. He told a lot of parables, earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And he told this one parable of the talents. You know the story. But look at it again and think with me. Matthew 25, verse 14, Jesus said, the kingdom. He talked about the kingdom. The most important thing to Jesus is the kingdom of God. That's all he talked about. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to. The kingdom of heaven can be likened unto. The kingdom of heaven is like. And he would give these stories. And so here is one. It is like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had received the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, I have 2 talents more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. His master answered and said, you wicked and slothful or lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed, gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money in with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast this servant into outer darkness. I don't believe Jesus is talking about money, because everything is his. As our brother said a little earlier, the cattle on 1,000 hills are his. Let me remind you, the hills are his too. It's all his, all right? Everything. He's not talking about money, but he's entrusting to them something very precious to him. And I am telling you, there is nothing more important to God than the gospel of Jesus Christ. It cost him his son. He sent his son, who took our beating, shed his blood so that we could live. I have 2 sons. I often tell the men at the jail, if I had to give one of my sons to be blindfolded and beaten, beard ripped out, whipped 40 lashes, save one, nailed to a cross to slowly bleed and die, raw hamburg. If I had to do that with one of my sons so that some of you could go to heaven, you'd be in trouble. It's that simple. God sent his only son. Can I get an amen? He sent his one and only son. Why? So that we could be saved. And even as Paul writes in the letters in the New Testament, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Brothers and sisters, this is what the church did for centuries, millennia. And I fear we're getting away from it. I fear there's a lot of fellowship and all the other things going on and stuff, but I'm telling you, we need to get back to this gospel. We're only here for a little while. We're only here for a little while. Everybody got this? The 80, 90, 100 years, going to go by real quick, real fast. Do not hold on too tight to this life because it's passing. It's fleeting. Here today, you can fill in the rest. Gone tomorrow. We're only here for a little while. We got to share the gospel. We got to proclaim the gospel because people are going to burn in hell if they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe the scriptures that people will burn and scream in hell? Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water, come cool off my tongue, for I'm in agony in this flame. Do you believe that? I do. So I proclaim the word in a jail. Not just in a jail, anywhere, anyhow, anytime. Because I really believe this. There's only one way out. His name is Jesus. We got to proclaim this. We got to tell people. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are different. And we need to share with our neighbors and people around us. There's only one way. His name is Jesus. And I believe, I would like to believe, that there's one more revival left. You know, you've read them. Those of you that are serious, you know the revivals that have happened. How do they begin? Well, they begin with weeping. They hear the word, and then they weep. And they weep, and they realize how selfish they were, how they only thought of the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I, and how people were going to hell every day, and they haven't been doing what God said. Remember what he said? Remember before he left? As you are going, preach the word. Make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I commanded. Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. For there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. If we know the way, and we see people just waltzing into hell day after day after day. I don't know how many people drop a day. I mean, I didn't Google it, but it's probably, I would say, low number. I'll just pick 50,000 a year die. I mean, a day. Maybe it's more money. I don't know. But there's only one way, and we know the way. We got to share this. It's a day of good news. Can I get an amen? I know that you've put your faith and trust in Jesus. If you haven't, you need to. But I know most of you have, if not all. I hope you all have. And you know that when the lights go out, you know you're going to heaven. All your sins are gone. They've been paid for. What is the wage of sin? Death. What did Jesus do? He died. He paid for them. It's over. But what about others? How are they going to hear? They don't teach it in school. The world's not going to tell them. The world doesn't even know them. They think we came from monkeys, from a big bang a long time ago. We need to share the good news. Here's what Jesus did. Well, let me just read this little thing. It says, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. And we need to tell others. You know, you've entered to worship. I pray now you depart to serve. And you think about those around you. Pray for them. Get to know some people around you. And look for this opportunity to share the gospel. Because we're talking life and death. Heaven and hell. And it's only one last heartbeat. One last breath away. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for your precious son. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for you. We are so grateful for what your son did. Again, dying for our sins so we could live. And we believe, Lord, we know. But help us to remember what you said, that there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No one will come to the Father except by him. Help us to always be mindful of those who may be lost, that we could share with them the blessed gospel, the good news, that our sins, all of them, have been paid for by the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In his name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.